I am joined by Joan McNoble. Is it Joan?
McNoble
from Sulis. And Joan has worked on and produced a very, very interesting report. And I was reading through this morning, Joan, and there's a lot of things in it that I was shocked at, number one. But I suppose I really wanted to talk to you about this, that there are currently 218,000 women, which in itself is an absolutely staggering figure. But anyway, between the ages of 20 and 64, who are currently not participating in the workforce. Now, we'll put that figure aside for the moment, Joan.
Sure.
The next bit, of those, 16,000 could be attracted to join the workforce with the right supports. I presume if you're saying that they could be attracted to join the workforce with the right supports, you mean that these are women who are currently rearing their families.
Yeah, so I mean the data is all based on the labour force survey. So when people are surveyed, they're asked the question, you know, are you available for work? Do you want to work? So that's where it's kind of come from. So there's an awful lot of the women who are captured in this are looking after young children, but there's a significant amount who aren't, which we found quite interesting. So it's childcare is not the only issue in terms of people, women particularly, returning to the labour force.
And Joan, I know one word that jumps out, and it's something that, and we regularly hear at Near FM, and particularly on Northside Today, we would go to jobs fairs and recruitment events and apprenticeship forums, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And the one thing that everybody is, the one word that keeps, or the one phrase, should I say, that keeps coming up time and time again, skills shortage. And that's referred to here in your findings.
Yes. So that would be our main piece of work that we do here in our unit in Sulis, in the Skills and Labour Market Research Unit. So we look at the skills and labour shortages in Ireland. So, I mean, we're at a stage now where unemployment rates are the lowest since 2008, where, you know, the employment is growing. So we really have a need for people at all levels, all sectors, between hospitality, agriculture, retail, construction, finance, IT, across the spectrum there is areas of opportunities for people to move into. So that was the kind of purpose of the research in the first place, was to identify one of the strands of people that could be enticed back into the labour market to look at these shortages.
And the funny thing about it, Joan, and I don't want to, of course, we always welcome participation by our listeners here, but I don't want people jumping down my throat when I say this, but when you mention skill shortage, women, and returning to the workforce, a lot of people would automatically think retail, ringing tills or stacking shelves or hanging clothes on hangers in department stores. But there's much more involved, isn't there, really, Joan?
Oh, there's lots of opportunities across. And, you know, for all levels of education. But what we'd like to see, what we see with some of the people here, is that a lot of these women don't have work experience or haven't worked in, you know, 10 years. So there will be supports required to get these people back into work. And if they want a higher skilled job or a higher paid job, they may need to return to the education training system just to upskill in order to get, you know, so they're not going into necessarily the retail jobs if that's not something that they want.
Yeah, and I mean, we're continually hearing, Joan, that we're at full employment. Now, if we're at full employment, I'm not too sure that we are, because I think if you took the real figures from the Department of Social Welfare, you will find that we probably are not at full employment. But the thesis, I presume, and the whole basis for this study is that there are vacancies there for these 16,000 straight away.
There would be. Well, yes, there would be, particularly because there's a lot of churn within the economy. So, as you said, the retail jobs, people are going into retail jobs and leaving at the same time. So we're not saying there's 16,000 extra jobs, but there'll be people leaving, there'll be people retiring, people leaving the country. So there's lots of openings available where these people could get employment. Whether we match exactly, you know, we have high skilled jobs, so not all these 16,000 would have the qualifications needed to enter into those type jobs. But they would, you know, there would be 16,000 at least openings in the labour market. Yes, definitely.
And what stumbling blocks are there? I mean, we've addressed the fact that a lot of these women have young children, and I mean, the figures speak for themselves. You know that. one third of those have children under the age of five. What other stumbling blocks? Is that thing of, oh God, I once was a, let's say, an event manager 10 years ago, but event management has moved on now so much that my skill set wouldn't be right. Is it all that type of thing?
There's a lot. There's for the women with third level qualifications, they tend to have younger kids but were closer attached, so they had worked more recently. But what they're probably like, most of those have a partner who works full time. So there's a taxation element there, you know, in terms of, you know, if the partner has their tax credits, then they're from the first euro that they earn, they will be taxed at a high rate. So the incentive to return, there's flexibility in that a lot of employers say they're offering flexible working, but are they offering part-time working, which would have an impact if you have young children. And then obviously the childcare issue comes up quite frequently because the cost and availability of childcare is an issue in Ireland.
Definitely, and I think you've hit both those nails bang on there. I mean, the cost, number one, and then, as you said, the availability as well. Joan, maths was never really a strong point of mine in school, but I could always count money. And my powers of mathematical deduction tells me that there are 202,000 women to whom this survey doesn't refer. What's the story with them? And I'm getting that figure, of course, obviously, when you subtract 16,000 from 218,000.
Yeah. So there's, as I said, the survey asks, so this is the national survey that counts all employment and unemployment, all the variables that's reported in it for the economy in Ireland. So the people who are actually surveyed are asked, are they available to work? Are they seeking work? Do they want a job but they're not actually available because they're looking after children or adults? Or do they specifically, do they say they do not want a job? And the clear majority say they do not want a job. Now, that in itself is a very interesting factor. You know, what are the reasonings behind? And I don't have that answer. As I said, again, childcare is a big factor. There's people, you know, this reaction from what we've published, there's a lot of people who said when they had 1 to 2 children, they looked at commuting, cost of childcare, and really to them it didn't make any sense to return to work. So their options were limited because of all those factors. So that would be why they have no interest in returning to work.
And Joan, did the gender pay gap play any role in this survey? Did it come up at all, I wonder?
No, because the survey doesn't specifically look at wages. So, you know, we didn't look. Then these are people who obviously aren't earning. So there wouldn't be any pay gap. But what I did look at was the women who had previous work experience. So what did they previously work as? And that was very different depending on the education level. So you've those who previously who had up to a maximum of a leaving cert, and they, if you look at it, the jobs they'd previously worked in were lower skilled. So they were cleaners, catering assistants, retail, care workers, whereas the third level graduates were in higher skilled occupations like nursing, accounting, admin roles. So you can see like the incentive to return to work might be different because the opportunities that are available to you.
Yeah, but I suppose the angle I was coming at from that was that, you know, if you look at, as you say, people say, no, not interested. Like, as you said, they're factoring in their cost of their childcare, the cost of getting to and from work, the cost of being in work because they have to eat or there may be some other sundry costs that you factor into it. And when they do the math, they say, well, hold on a minute, like, I'm going to get this for that job, whereas if I was a man, I would get this rate of pay, and therefore, because the two are not the same, it doesn't pay me to go back to work. That's kind of the point of it was I was trying to make, Joan, you know?
I'm not sure that, I mean, obviously the gender pay gap is a very important issue, but I'm not sure if that's the main factor for these women. I think it's, if you know, for those whose work experience is limited, there's a confidence issue, there might be literacy issues, you know, so those sort of elements are probably a much bigger factor that's putting them off rather than pay gaps, because, you know, a big factor in the pay gaps would be the type of occupations that the women tend to work in, you know, like nursing, teaching, that there's a bigger share, and they tend to be in lower paid occupations than the employment that would be for males.
And where to now, Joan, for this report? Do you proceed on to a meeting with Regina Doherty and her department?
Well, I'm from a research point of view, so my hope would be that it's about creating conversations, I suppose, and where that goes from there. I mean, from our point of view, we're looking at other areas, other places that we could access skills as well. So we're looking at what's happening with older workers next. So that's where we're coming from. But we'd like to, I mean, there is a lot happening across with Regina Doherty, etc. You know, that there are lots of incentives going on. It's just hoping that this increases. There's a Future Jobs initiative that's being run by the Department of Taoiseach and Department of Business, and increasing female participation rates is one of their key goals. So they will be hopefully using this piece of research to help guide them as to how to do that.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you know, it's all very well and fine doing this research, and it's a very, very important building block in the whole process, this particular report, because I read it. But, I mean, the end result is that were this to be acted upon, there would be more people in the workforce, therefore generating more revenue for the state, so the entire economy benefits.
Absolutely. And it's about choice. We're not in any way trying to suggest that we need to guilt women into returning to work or pressurise them in any way. It's just for those who are willing to return to work, what can be done to help them achieve that goal?
Yeah, and again, of course, I suppose, as you say, you know, when it all comes down to money, and
yes,
you know, when you add up, as you said, as we discussed earlier, the child cost plus the transport plus other sundry costs that would be involved in returning to work, it just is not financially viable for a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Joan, you mentioned,
I mean, that in itself has to be looked at.
I totally agree with you, because I mean, if employment is not made attractive from that point of view alone, outside of the other bits and pieces, well, people are just not going to partake in the work Grey Force. Joan, I know it's a study and a survey that you are undertaking at the moment, but you did mention it, and I fully appreciate that you may not be in a position to comment on it. But people of more advanced years, let us say, either remaining or re-entering the workforce, I would imagine that with advances in longevity, let us just say, and maybe shortages in the workforce, and we've seen in the last couple of years where the old age pension has been moved out to a later stage in life, that you could very well have people working now well into their 70s. How realistic is that?
Oh, very realistic. And it's about, I haven't any of the figures yet for that yet, but, you know, it's about flexibility in for the older workforce as well, in that they may want to change jobs from what they were doing. For, you know, for the older workforce, the chances are you were working in something for a much longer period than for the younger cohort, you know. So these days, people in their 20s may only stay 5 years in a job, whereas older workers tend to be, you know, longer in their jobs at the moment. But they may want to change. They may not want to continue working in something that they've worked in, you know, post-retirement years. They may want to find a part-time employment. So it's about trying to hold on to these people, because the benefit to their own health and to the economy would be massive, you know, if we can find those encouragements to do that.
Yeah, it is a funny thing, Joan, because, the landscape of work has changed beyond all recognition in the last couple of decades. I mean, I entered the workforce in the very late 70s, early 80s, if you know what I mean. And yeah, at that stage, you got a job. And, I mean, we were going through a terrible economic time in the early 80s as well. So if you got a job, I suppose, let's just say you minded it, and you tended to stay in it for your entire working life.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who went to school with me were forced to immigrate. They immigrated and they put down roots where they went, and that was it. Nowadays, you don't see it. As you say, you see young people entering the workforce. They may stay in a job for a year or two, and then they decide, oh, I'm going off to Canada, or I'm going off to Australia, or I'm going somewhere else. And they go there for a couple of years, and they work, and they come back. And, you know, it's not just as regimental, and as the whole tradition of work has changed.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and we have to adapt to that, and we have to, but, you know, for the older workers that we're looking at the moment, there's an awful lot of these people who are hitting kind of the retirement age, having worked for 30 years in the same thing, and they may not want, you know, at that age, they may not want to continue in that, but we need to show them those other opportunities that they could potentially look at, as I said, on a part-time basis or whatever, but still using the expertise that they have gained over the years, that we don't lose that skill.
That's a very important thing. But as well as that, I mean, I would think the fact that it's optional for people of an older generation is one plus. But also, I would imagine, Joan, that for their mental well-being, that it could be very, very beneficial.
Yes, yeah, I would have thought so. I don't have any data on that, but I would have thought so. And, you know, when the retirement age was set, you know, people weren't living much beyond 70, so it made sense, you know. So we're in a different age now.
Joan, I'm just wondering, did you marry up when you were doing this analysis? You know, we'll just go back to that original figure of 16,000 women. Are there 16,000 positions out there for them at the moment in the workplace?
Well, that's what I was saying, yes, that I think with the amount of... There's definitely 16,000 openings, because while you have people entering employment, you have people leaving employment at the same time. And we the employment increased by over 50,000 last year. But we look at recent job hires as well, so there's over 400,000 new job hires in a year. So there's a lot of movement happening. So there's definitely possibilities and openings for a lot of these whether we can match up their skills and abilities is another thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was coming at as well, I suppose, that, you know, while they may be available, they may have to, and I mean, we did mention it earlier in our chat, they may have to upskill. Joan, thank you so much for joining me, and for anybody who wants to find out more about this survey, and it's very, very interesting, folks, do read up on it, and you can do so by contacting or by just going online at www.solace.ie. It's very, very interesting stuff, Joan, and thank you for undertaking the analysis. That's Senior Data Analyst with Solace, Joan McNibble, I think, is it? Nibble?
I'll take anything. Nibble.
Joan, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon on the Tuesday edition of Northside Today. Thank you so much.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.